Hey everybody, what's going on? Rob Cicerino getting you ready for the Big Brother 17 premiere recap with Matt Hoffman. It's going to be a lot of fun talking with Matt. We've got a great show coming up. Before we get into it, I want to take a moment and thank our sponsor for this episode of the podcast, and those are our friends over at The Great Courses. Now, if you are a person who listens to a lot of podcasts and audio recorded material like I do, you'll really enjoy The Great Courses, because The Great Courses is a fantastic video and audio lecture series taught by top professors and experts in their fields that is designed to help educate you in a number of different areas. I recently was sent a copy of The Fundamentals of Photography, which is something that I've always been interested in taking pictures. It's taught by a National Geographic photographer, and you learn all of the details about how to use your cameras. Like, I have a fancy camera that I really don't know a lot about, and now I'm learning to see what a lot of the features do. There's lots of great tips and activities to apply the knowledge that you're learning. For a limited time, The Great Courses has a special offer for Rob as a Podcast listeners. Order from 8 of the best-selling courses, including Fundamentals of Photography, at up to 80% off the original price. But the 80% savings is only available for a limited time. So hurry, don't wait. Go to thegreatcourses.com/RHAP. That's thegreatcourses.com/RHAP. Coming to you live from my apartment, it's Rob Has a Podcast. And now, here's a man who watched the Big Brother 17 premiere and said, UFO no! Rob Cicerino, hello everybody, and welcome to our premiere podcast for Big Brother 17 regular season. It's opening night, and here with me is Big Brother semi-legend and all-around great guy. Here is Matt Hoffman. Matt, how are you? Oh,
great. How are you, man? It's great to be back.
You want to trademark that semi-legend?
Semi-legend. I like that.
Yes.
It's appropriate.
Well, Matt, I'm so happy.
Both my stature and my legacy.
Well, Matt, I'm so happy that you're here with us to talk about the premiere of Big Brother 17. I'm glad we were able to work this out. It's always a treat to have you on, and very excited to talk to you.
What a treat it was to sit through that last 60 minutes of my life.
Boy, what a night. Wow.
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
Still reeling.
Oh my God. So much news to process. Well, we are going to talk our way through everything. We've only met 8 of the house guests so far, Matt.
Yeah. Well, twist after twist after twist.
Yes.
When's the rest going to happen?
We got a lot to process, and we are going to go through all of it. Of course, here we are live. We're going to be live after all of the episodes of Big Brother 17 this summer, starting tonight.
Rob. Twins.
Yes, the twins. Twins.
Can you believe it, man?
Oh my God, Matt. I can't believe it. It's going to be a crazy night. It's going to be a crazy summer.
Yes. Crazy. Beach. Lots of beach stuff.
It's going to be very beachy. Yes.
Very beachy.
So we're gonna talk through everything. We're still trying to process a little bit. Great. We just finished watching the episode, if you're listening to the podcast, and we are a couple minutes live after the episode. We've got the chat room open at robiswebsite.com. We are also taking your tweets with the hashtag RHAP, and then also on our YouTube channel at robiswebsite.com/YouTube. Okay.
How do I see the chat? What these people are saying?
Robiswebsite.com. Go to the chat room.
I'm gonna log in.
Yeah, go ahead, log in.
I'm doing that.
All right. So, Big Brother premiere tonight. Night 2 is coming tomorrow. Matt, are we evicting somebody tomorrow? We are, right?
I hope me from this season. I'm done. I think after this. Who knows, man? Are we two people? A couple? Oh, we're supposed to get more people too, though.
Is it true that this was how long I heard you watch the episode tonight?
30 seconds. I couldn't last it longer than that.
Yeah, is that true?
This is not true yet. I'm going everything off of rumors and hearsay on the internet. Everything I say right now.
All right, so we're going to talk through all it. Matt, the live feeds kick off tomorrow night as well, after tomorrow night's episode.
Forget it. I'm going to lose my job. It's over. My summer's over.
Yeah, live feeds are going to kick off. If you want to get in on the live feed action, go to robiswebsite.com/live feeds. We're also playing Big Brother Live Feed Bingo. We sent out a bunch of the Big Brother Live Feed bingo cards through the weekend. If you signed up on Monday, Tuesday, or today, you haven't got them yet, I will send those out as well. robiswebsite.com/bingo. If you don't know what that is, you can win $500 playing Big Brother live feed bingo on robiswebsite.com by saying certain words that are on your bingo card, Matt.
Any words? What kind of words?
The words are on the bingo card.
That the contestants have
that, they say. Like, if you have Technotronics on your card, then somebody says that in the house. Boom.
Anytime on the live feeds.
On the live feeds. Not on the TV show. Somebody asked me that tonight. So all that's at robiswebsite.com/bingo. Or for just the live feeds, go to robiswebsite.com/live feeds. All right. Boy, Matt, we really learned a lot tonight. We really did.
We did. There's a lot to soak in.
There's a lot to soak in, like fake blood. As you're standing out waiting for a movie to start, right?
Yeah, yeah. I really don't understand particularly what's going to happen this season. I feel, I don't know, Rob. Like I said, it's...
Yeah, I'm a bit dumbfounded as well, because it was a night where we really had so many different things coming our way. You know, we had 14 house guests that are supposed to be in the house. We only had how many moved in? Only 8 moved in here tonight. So what's
a weird number?
6 are coming in tomorrow. And so that's going to happen. We did the first thing. It was almost like a exact recreation of the first show from last year where we had 8 people play, or if they had 9 people play in HOH that time. And then other people came in, and then there was an HOH born out of the second night of people in the house. Now, why can't they all just move in the house at the same time?
Yeah, I don't understand this delayed moving in, and this, all of it's crazy. I think it's a disconnect. You start forming weird alliances and things when you separate the move-ins. It's already kind of mucks things up.
It's very kooky. And so we're doing that again. And then on top of that, Julie Chen started teasing that there's a bunch of things that she's going to need to tell the house guests. One is a fan favorite. One is something that they're going to tell the house that's brand new. And 3 was something that only we were going to find out at home, and they weren't going to find out at the house. So really a jam-packed night of announcements.
Yeah. And 2 is kind of like way more than 2. 2 is like telling you that there's going to be like 200. You know? And it's not like, I just picture the war room preseason of like, what are we going to do this year, you know? And this is just such an excuse for the powers that be to just decide at will that, okay, let's twist it, you know, let's throw a saboteur, because it'll, you know, you can just work it's limitless. The possibilities for fucking this up are just limitless to have it be, you know,
yeah,
shifted around.
It's a little like, you ever have one of those things like on Nintendo that you could put like the cheat code in and make anything sort of happen? Yeah.
It's the game twist. Yeah, they had, what's the, do you have the, what do they play when it's twist time?
Well, I don't know. Oh, the music? When you are you saying there's a BB takeover right now?
Is there?
Get ready for a takeover.
What? Wait, what? Hold on. Who's taking over? Who's taking over the podcast?
Oh my god. I feel like they should have maybe one of your listeners can work this up who's talented with this stuff. Like, if I picture like a Terrence and Phillippe kind of crude animation of Grodner's head just laughing on the screen in the living room, and then whenever that happens, all the house guests have to come in, you know, and her cackle just plays in the speakers. And they leave around and not know what happens.
Wow, Terrence and Phillip. Is that that would be for Big Brother Canada, no?
It would be a better Big Brother Canada.
But
people pick on Grodner. I just did it too. Pick on Grodner. Poor Grodner, you know, like, I mean, yeah, she's like heavily involved, but there's like a fucking shit ton of other people, right? And Grodner just takes the hump of this. It's almost just funny now at this point. You kind of have to pick on her.
Well, I thought it was a weird first night for Big Brother where they have all of these things that they threw out there, and then they built an HOH competition that was about getting bad reviews. It's like, the Big Brother house guests made a movie or were in a movie, and the movie got such bad reviews. And we actually had Big Brother contestants like verbally being booed at and being like people saying bad reviews, boo, throwing tomatoes at there. What a meta commentary for maybe what the producers are feeling about what they're doing. Do you think, is there anything to that? Why on the first night? Why?
They're trying to get like reverse psychology to the viewers. Who is that guy? I didn't know. I thought he was like a PA until someone said something about
Kevin Frazier.
Is he real famous for real? Or is that like kind of what we're looking forward to for these hosts
yeah.
that are going to introduce?
Well, he's one of the hosts of Entertainment Tonight. Entertainment Tonight films on the same lot that the Big Brother house is on. So it's a hop, skip, and a jump for Entertainment Tonight to get over to the Big Brother house. But that being said, I didn't understand at all why what costume the house guests were wearing. It's like they're in a movie, but they're like dressed like nerdy type guys with bow ties. Like, yeah. Are they the critics? Were they the people who are, and is that what Big Brother's perception of a critic is? Like nerdy guys in glasses and sort of bow ties? Like, why did they have to be dressed like nerds?
You already spent more time on this than the actual production staff.
Why? This is my
thinking this too. This is like a cocktail napkin construction that they have to.
This is my job that I have to think about these things. I'm just trying to like, what's the big picture?
Maybe one of the twists is that we'll get the backstory to these characters from the competitions.
Yeah, but it was odd where if they were the critics, why was Kevin Frazier interviewing them and asking them about who would play you in the movie? Like he was interviewing them.
I think it's what's supposed to happen is they were supposed to simulate a Hollywood experience. So these were up and coming actors, you know, walking their first red carpet.
Mactors.
And then they went on a surfboard and then people didn't like them. It makes perfect sense, man.
All right. So So let me just get back to these announcements. So the first announcement that Julie teased was we have a fan favorite coming to the house this season. And so we're saying, what are we doing? Is Frankie Grande moving in? What is going on here?
Can they get him from his tour? Or he canceled his tour, didn't he?
Did he cancel the tour?
I recently heard that Frankie's tour has been canceled. This might be an exclusive. He has too much going on with other projects.
Oh, my God. We have a breaking news.
Breaking news are happening now.
Is that confirmed? Where's Kevin Frazier?
I really do think this is confirmed. I believe I saw this today. It's kind of a bummer, right?
Sad news to report tonight.
Did we ever know what was going to happen on that tour?
I don't know.
We don't know.
I had tickets.
Just a pair?
Yeah. Well, I had a whole party that we were going to go see it. And now it's off. All right. So very upsetting news tonight to hear about that. So we're going to have a fan favorite is returning to the house this season. And I'm thinking it's a person, but the fan favorite is a twist, Matt.
It's a twist.
And that fan favorite is the Battle of the Block, the super popular, backed by popular demand, Battle of the Block.
Who was surveyed for this fan favorite? Do we know? which fan?
What? We're referring to the Battle of the Block as the fan favorite?
It makes everything very convoluted. It condenses things too much. It's like the worst. It's one of the worst twists.
I mean, just because we're calling it a fan favorite, does that make it a fan favorite?
Yeah, absolutely. Fan favorite. I mean, Jeff's a fan favorite, right? Hey, Jeff, who said?
Did Jeff pick out the Battle of the Block?
Maybe. Fan favorite picked by your fan favorite.
I don't know. So, okay. Well, that was a surprise to me tonight. I didn't know that Battle of the Block.
Twist within a twist.
Yeah. I didn't know that the Battle of the Block was a fan favorite. So I mean, good to know. All this time, I thought people didn't like it, but now I know it's a fan favorite. And now we can refer to it as the fan favorite Battle of the Block. Then number two, we found out that the BB takeover was happening. And every time we hear this sound in the Big Brother house, is there a takeover?
I think I heard one.
Okay, so there's going to be a new twist every week in the house about that with the Big Brother takeover. And we really don't know what that's going to look like.
No, it's whatever they want to do. That's my point. It's like the ways to rig this are just totally endless. It's infinitesimal They can do anything they want week after week and write it off as, hey, we told you we were going to do something different every week. So it's, this is it.
Buckle up, bitches.
Yeah.
Buckle up, bitches.
Buckle up, bitches. And then
I talked to Rachel Riley.
Yes.
Yesterday or 2 days ago about, we were just doing some speculation conversation. And she had an interesting theory. You know, I'm sure it's made to her on the message board. So sorry if this isn't some exclusive. But first I had heard of this theory floated that they could do this and make it cool by each week is like a past season twist. You know, like 1 week is a saboteur and the twins. And maybe they are doing that, which then I kind of am. I'm not on board with it, but I mean, I'm a lot more on board with it because at least it's sort of themed in that. And I thought that would be cool.
We'll see. We'll see. But I don't know. I don't know. We really don't know what that looks like. We don't know if the twists are going to be like, hey, there's a new movie coming out this week. So the twist is going to be we all have to wear the, you know, leotards of the
probably.
Yeah.
I see a lot of cross promotional bullshit.
Synergy, we're going to call it. Synergy. A lot of synergy coming through the Big Brother house this season. So I don't know what that's going to look like. But then the third twist was probably the one which was another one that just we did not really see coming. Like we joked around a lot about it, about a twin twist, but
no one really thought.
Wow.
Yeah.
So not only twins. Is there one Liz in the house, there could be two Liz's in the house.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing is that I liked the twin twist originally in season 5 or whenever that was because I thought that the two people that they chose to do the twin twist were kind of smart. You know, they weren't like just dumb body, like hot bodies that they cast and that happened to be twins. This chick from, and I don't know her, but I know her superficially. It just seems kind of Dodo-ish to me. And I can't imagine that, you know, there's a whole lot of deviancy for, you know, between her and her sister that way. And so, or deviation, I'm sorry. Anyway, you get what I'm saying. I don't think they're going to pull it off, is my rambling point. They're not pulling this off. For 5 weeks?
For five weeks, the Liz, one Liz wasn't going to last 5 weeks in the house.
Yeah.
Let alone switching out and not remembering any conversations that were had by the other Liz.
She got cast because she met Portia Briggs.
On a boat.
On a boat.
Isn't yeah.
I love that.
That's wild, right?
She not cast her.
You would not cast her if she met Porsche on a boat?
No, I would think it would be an immediate ride to the finals. I think any connection of Porsche Briggs deserves a shot at Big Brother, probably.
Okay, so you are in favor of the twin twist.
I loved it in season 5. I still like it. I think it's funny to watch happen, but I think it'll just be a saboteur-ish like disaster that will just
yeah, I don't think it's going to go well. It's hard.
No, it'll be fucking horrible.
It's hard for me because I don't really have a good read on Liz yet. Of course, I watched her interviews. I have your Matt Hoffman wrote a fantastic manifesto about this season on BigBrotherNetwork.com, which I've printed out. If you can see on my,
who's that guy?
Yeah, there you go.
Takeover.
Yeah,
off takeover.
Matt Hoffman said of Liz, said, "Let's introduce you to another pre-jury boot. This is Liz. Liz from Florida.
This is Liz from Florida. It's,
and there's two of her now.
Two people from Florida. Never before have I been so excited to have a Florida contestant on since Andrew Gordon.
Yeah,
Florida.
Well, here's the tricky thing." Where I think this could make for some very good TV. And we like good TV, right?
Love it.
We like good TV.
We love good TV.
Is Liz going to showmance?
Oh, that would be awesome. that would reel me right back into this season in a major way. Feed subscriptions go through the roof. BB takes over.
Get ready for a takeover!
What? Could you imagine? Like let's say Dr. John ends up in his showmance with Liz and they're switching out the girl on him?
He wouldn't A, know, or B, care if he did end up finding out, I don't think.
Oh, he'd be psyched.
He'd love it. He's a rocking dentist.
Yeah.
I love him. I know nothing about this guy, and I fucking love him.
I know you love him. I love him. I love him too.
I love him.
Well, I hope they have the exact same dental work because he'll be able to tell. I'll say, didn't you have a crown yesterday?
True. A lot of people can get called out this season. Yeah.
A lot of people are going to get called out. All right. We also had 8 house guests come into the house and we got first impressions. Of course, the most notable of these house guests is Audrey, who I felt like Big Brother really went about explaining her story in an odd way, Matt.
In that they just kind of glossed over it for the majority of it.
Well, I don't know how many of the people who were watching the show knew this about her ahead of time, but they spent 20 minutes not discussing it. And then it was all of a sudden she was like, oh, I'm going to announce this to the house. Again, it's whatever way Audrey wanted to do it, whatever way the show wanted to do it. I mean, for Audrey, she had the opportunity to tell the house however she wanted. I just felt like it was weird that Big Brother didn't lead with that.
In their not to the house guests. You're talking about all the pre-B-roll shit.
No, I mean, yeah, in the story of her going to the house and everything like that. I felt like that they were not touching on that at that point until it was revealed in the house.
Yeah, I mean, well, she was probably really good at marketing job, so they really wanted to highlight that. She's probably pretty proud of that, so.
Yeah.
Spend some time on marketing.
All right. So that was something that went down in the house. It seemed like everybody was very receptive to it. I didn't think at all that it was going to be something that was going to be met with any resistance in the house, right?
No, not at all. How could you do that? It'd be horrible. Even Clay wouldn't have even thought of speaking up at something like that.
Clay was very receptive about it, too.
Yes, Clay. He's quite the southern gentleman, Nick Clay.
Yeah, he really was. And he made quite the impression on Shelly. And boy, Shelly seems very thirsty.
Oh, I hope their hearts don't go fluttering too much for each other, right? We want anything dangerous going on. Call the medic for their heart murmur.
Yeah, heart murmur. Now, that wasn't what your wife had when you were on Big Brother, right?
No, you're right. Maybe they're lying about this. I didn't consider that.
You're lying about heart murmur?
People, they immediately believe that they have heart murmurs. That's a very good point. Got to be up on the guard.
But boy, Shelly is very taken with Clay.
Shelly is horny. She is.
She's thirsty.
She is out for anything.
She's ready to go.
That biological clock is just tick-tocking. She knows.
She's ready to go. Clay and also seems very taken with her. Is that the thing where maybe this is before Liz and a couple of these other younger women move into the house that then when Shelly isn't the best looking girl in the house anymore, that maybe he moves elsewhere?
Yeah. Who else do we got left? Liz and Vanessa. Well, Vanessa's a lesbian, so she's not obviously going to be right. That's going to come out. It's not going to be
Becky, I think, is the other person that's probably Becky, in play for him. So we'll see. We'll see exactly what ends up happening with that. Of course, we are going to be taking your questions as we go along the way here tonight from the Twitter hashtag RHAPs coming up in just a little bit. Who else stood out to you as making a good impression or a bad impression?
I like James. I like that he's tiny, and I'm wondering now if I've lost my title as tiniest Big Brother male house guest, because he definitely looked like a little dude. But what I particularly beyond that liked is I sort of have that same philosophy, and I heard him in his pre-interviews too, where he's like, he's unassumingly good at these competitive things. And I'm not an athlete, and I fucking don't ever want to, nor did I play, competitive sports, but I have an odd talent for just dumb shit like balancing on surfboards and stuff just weird coordination. And a big misconception about Big Brother is that everyone thinks these big guys are threats, but there's really not many strength competitions, if any, in Big Brother. The more like coordination with a little bit of strength that might help you or not. So this James guy, I think he's going to be the one to look out for, is my pick right now.
Speaking of big guys, what did you think of Austin on night one?
I don't know. Kind of like what I expected. I think he'd be fun to hang out with. I don't know. He seems all right. He seems kind of Danish almost. Maybe.
In his looks or his personality?
A little bit both. Really both. I mean, he's got Dan with the Jesus hair or whatever, flowing locks.
He really does look like Dan to a degree. He looks like he could be related to Dan. But
twist.
Is that another twist?
Is that a takeover week seven?
Maybe. Yeah.
Danny's his twin, and they have the complicated task of pulling this off when one keeps growing hair and losing hair and getting beards.
Yes, and growing like a foot also.
That's amazing.
What do you make of Austin's thing where he has this alter ego of Judas?
Well, that's an interesting way to phrase it, like as though you phrased it as though he has some like schizophrenia when really it's his job, right? I mean, it's like it's his thing, and as much as he gets paid to be this guy, it's not like he sits at home by himself and probably switches characters, or maybe he doesn't.
Yeah. Or maybe he just has a hat, and part of switching the hat is that he takes on the other personality, which is the Austin personality. Do you think it's in the hat, Matt?
I hope it's in the hat. I think the hat's a good gimmick to have. Like I'd say, you know, from like a casting standpoint, I think that's fun to have that tangible interpretation of your alter ego. It's fun.
I'm going to go ahead and fire up a question here, ready to go. And that is first from SurvivorFan7, who said that, Rob, did you catch that Andrea Belke cameo? Yes, we have known for some time that Andrea is friends with Meg, and there was Andrea at the package of hanging out with Meg in New York City. So they did not name check Andrea, but good for Andrea getting to appear on Big Brother. Is this the, I'm trying to remember, was Russell Hantz in the Willie Hantz package? But good job for Andrea. And I'd love to get to Andrea on the podcast this summer to talk about what's going on with her friend Meg. Let's go to John Johnston, who said, did Audrey put a target on her back with making a mutual agreement to Shelley and Davon? The Night One alliance to me is always going to be suspect. And it looked like everybody was pumped up about it. Shelley said, well, this is a really good idea, the Night One alliance between the three women. What's your read on that?
No, I mean, it's good to, like, if you're in that mix and they were talking about that, I would have, been like, oh, this is a great idea. But like I would never go in the diary room and admit that that was a great idea. It's a good idea to just go along with. You never want to, when someone proposes something to you, you never want to be like, nah, I'm not really into that, you know, because they're going to go to someone else and do it. And then they're going to be like, oh, well,
yeah. I kind of liked when they were talking about it, but not saying the A word. Like I really kind of liked that they were all on the same page. But then when that's the point, they said, hey, I think girls are going to win this thing and they were going to work together. I felt like that was pouring it on too much.
The All Girls Alliance. Ugh.
What could go wrong? What could go wrong?
What could go wrong?
So I don't know about that. What did you think of Davon? I thought that she really had a lot of personality, but I'm wondering, and I did pick her as my winner, Matt. Oh. How about that?
That is, it's very...
I know you weren't blown away by her.
I wasn't blown away, but I was not offended by her in any way either. I think she seems intelligent enough. She's not like blabbing on about her kid, which is cool. She mentioned she had the kid, and that's about it. You know, that was off-putting, certainly, when Devin was around. She's all right, whatever. She'll be around for a little bit. They need her around to call out the poker chick, or to make some sort of secret poker alliance with her, somehow to get that out of the way. I feel they wanted the poker chick, and then they tagged along Yvonne for all the mishmash.
Yeah, I was a little worried that she was going to say something that was going to get her in hot water tonight.
Like something racist?
No,
like,
no.
Like an Aaron Grease to the Asian guy?
I didn't even think of that possibility.
Oh, but that's when I was like, Rob, why?
Yeah.
I
was a little worried when she started talking about the story that Audrey was talking about, where she's that Audrey put a little salt and pepper in that story. I thought she was going to call out Audrey in front of everybody.
I like though that she, you know, that she is calling it out, because a lot of people, I'm sure a lot of people probably thought that, but it wouldn't say that for whatever reason. I think it's cool that she kind of came out, which is telling of her character, and she might be like a fun person that can fly off the handle later in the season.
Yeah. And then in terms of the guys, Jace is somebody who I felt good about in the pregame, but I want to walk that back a little bit. I wasn't blown away in a good way by Jace tonight.
No. I really, honestly, I don't like any of the guys beyond James so far that came into the house. It's very that whole bro mentality, which is fine, whatever, but it's just, it's I feel it's not fun to watch play out. Anyway, so I hope it busts up pretty quick. I mean, what were they having a conversation about the working out conversation, you know?
Yeah.
Like, that's a conversation. I hope I don't ever want to be a part of something. You know?
Day one conversation.
Day one, talking about. And then what is it, making fun of him because he was ate a hot dog or ate, I don't know.
Ate the cookies. Ate the cookies.
Come on.
Can't eat the cookies, you know, if you want good abs.
The cookie. You know, that's not an alliance I want.
Yeah. All right. So then we had a decision that needed to be made tonight of one person was going to sit out of the HOH competition, Matt.
Mm-hmm.
Davon volunteers to be that person. Good this move. Do you like it?
This was a weird one. And I hate, you know, I'm going to do something that I hate when other people do and do it fucking anyway. When a contestant who is way past his prime recounts a stupid memory from his season as though it's like relevant to anyone.
No, please do it. Please do it.
Doing this now. Because it's very reminiscent of we were on a competition, and if you were the first one off, you were a have-not. It was a spinning paint can or something. And Kathy, who any of super fans might know, is one of the most competitive beasts in Big Brother history. Kathy said to all of us, "Hey, guys, I'm going to fall off. Do we have a deal?" And we're all like, "Yeah, Kathy, go ahead and fall." You know, fell off. And we never knew what Kathy was talking about, this deal. We always thought it was weird. So she thought that if she was going to do this thing, be the have not, that we were going to keep her safe. That was what she was thinking, which is preposterous because she's volunteering to do it. And I felt in the same way that Davon was like, "Hey, yeah, I'll do this, but don't vote me." And this is even more preposterous because in this case, history shows that when you sit this shit out, you probably get something good out of it, not something bad most often. So the whole thing was hokey that they all were in on that. I would have called her out. I think it would have been like, no, maybe I want to sit out and don't vote me out. You know, it's stupid.
What do you think are the chances Davon stays off of the block in week one?
0%.
0%.
0%. 0%. They'll put her on the block, but also 0% chance that then she goes home.
Yeah. So we're going to have, obviously, tonight where somebody is going to be the HOH, but he's only going to be one half of that HOH. If we remember the Battle of the Block rules, where there are two HOHs and somebody will be dethroned as HOH, maybe. I mean, this is all going to happen tomorrow night. I was under the impression that there's an eviction tomorrow night, but I don't see how that's possible.
No, there's no way that they could fit that in. That would have to be some major twisting going on.
Okay, no elimination coming.
I mean, didn't they do, I don't know, I didn't watch this, but didn't they do some kind of triple eviction on some Big Brother Canada?
On Big Brother Canada, they did a triple eviction.
That seems ambitious to me. I mean, maybe they're ambitious enough to pull this off.
I don't know. It's a 98-day season. And there's only 14 people in the house, 15 if we're going to count the two Liz's.
Yeah.
And so I can't imagine that they're going to vote somebody out tomorrow. I think that somebody just had a screen cap, the TV guide of tomorrow night's episode that says the first person is eliminated. Can anybody confirm or deny?
Oh, did it say that? I didn't see that.
Yeah. Can anybody confirm or deny? Is this canon if there's going to be an elimination tomorrow night? Because that's going to change some things for me. Part two of the HOH is Thursday, so it does not seem like there's going to be an eviction for Thursday.
I'm good. There's some people I wouldn't mind dumping off anyway. I mean, it would be cool if we could get rid of some of these.
You want to get rid of people already?
I do want to get rid of some of these people. I don't like Clay very much. I don't like...
What is it you don't like about him?
You know, I never like particularly good-looking people. Male or female, really. I just have an aversion to them.
Yes, that's why we get along so well.
We are kindred spirits in that way. And he is just like, he's just prototyped, like a doll. He almost doesn't even look human. And so there's an immediate sort of just detestment. I don't know why. I was never particularly picked on, you know, really in that way or anything, but I should have this. I feel we're doing like a therapy thing now, aren't we?
No, this is good. This is the real stuff.
But anyway, so I don't like him. And
that's why you made an alliance in the Big Brother house with Hayden Moss and Lane and Enzo, right?
Yeah. It was weird that happened that way. It was weird that worked. That's very atypical, I would say.
Yeah. So it really does seem like, especially with the Battle of the Block being in the mix, if four people are getting nominated this week, you got to think Davon's going to be in the mix. Like, I can't imagine this night one deal is going to hold a lot of water.
No. And do they know who's been nominated, like in real life, in the producers right now? No.
I think so, right?
Because I would think that they, if they had time like to edit this, knowing that she was nominated, that if she wasn't, I don't think they would have even left that line in, maybe, of like, oh, do everybody don't vote on me. They would have probably just showed her going, hey, I'll do it if everyone's cool with that. And I feel that they left that in if they knew that she's nominated, because it kind of punctuates it as funny, you know?
Yeah, that's interesting. I don't know how far back they moved into the house. Do you know how many days they moved into the house, or how many? Does anybody in the chat room know exactly at what point the game started? So if we're gearing up for an eviction coming up a week from tomorrow night, then maybe very much hasn't happened in terms of the game. Do you know at what point they are?
I don't know. I would have no idea. I actually don't. Because it's so weird with this Battle of the Block thing. The schedule is, this is like an Ian question, I feel.
Okay. All right. Well, basically, if we just figured out where we were at last summer, it seems like everything is exactly the same format wise as Big Brother 15 or Big Brother 16.
Yeah. It is Groundhog Day.
Yeah, I think so. So whenever that takes over, I feel like last season when the live feeds came on, I want to say that the power of veto was won, but hadn't been used.
Oh God, I definitely would not remember that. I don't even know.
Tell us.
Barely with this episode. That I
all right,
just
tell us what they think. All right.
I don't like Jace either. Also, and he's not good looking. But
oh, come on, he's a handsome guy.
That's what I don't like about him. I feel
you
like,
hate Indiana Jones.
I feel like he should be good looking. Like, he behaves like a really good looking person, but he's not particularly good looking.
Hmm.
And I don't dislike him in a way like, oh, I don't like you. And I say this also about Clay. I don't not like him as a person, but as a character, I don't want to watch someone that probably should be better looking than they are. And I feel maybe even a sympathy towards him. And I
so you're saying he's an ugly guy?
He's not ugly. None of people are particularly ugly, but I mean, he's not, you know,
I'm having a hard time following what you're saying.
He belongs in a different character. He belongs in a different body. Almost like he's like an Audrey in a way. Maybe they're breaking new ground in that.
So you're saying that he carries himself in a way that he should be a more attractive person by the way he carries himself?
Yeah, a lot how he carries himself, but even like chop his head off, you know, he's like, you feel like something went wrong in the head.
Are you saying that he's a butterface?
He is a butterface, kind of. Yeah, it's funny. Yeah, it's
okay, wow. Yeah. Matt Hoffman really breaking new ground.
But again, this is when I say that, like, I don't like him as a character. I don't want to watch that on my TV. It's off-putting to me. But I don't care if he's hanging out. I don't give a shit about it. I'm sure he's a very nice dude. But I don't want to see that running around for my summer, you know?
So you're saying that you would like him more if he had a worse body, or you would like him more if he had didn't carry himself.
Matches. Yeah. If he had a little bit, if he was a little doughier, that's acceptable. And if he was, you know, again.
So you'd like to see him fatter and with less self-esteem.
Yeah, there we go. He might be my pick to win.
Butter Jace.
CB takeover. They throw him off the plastic surgery.
Oh!
Get ready for a takeover!
All right, everybody. House guests, oh, gather in the living room. Matt Hoffman's here. Jace, you're going to need an attitude adjustment this week.
Jace, we're sending you to Dr. Will Kirby to get your plastic surgery to make you uglier and more normal, right? In the eyes of Hoff, right? It's my twist, and I'm the one that goes in and announces it. I'm like, guys, this is my twist.
Yeah.
Jace.
Well, this is like a human centipede type twist that you're working on here.
It is. God, you're never having me back on one of your shows again. I think.
Talk to me about...
I'm really bombing this one.
No. You're doing fantastic. Okay. Yeah, that's right.
Buckle up, bitches.
Yeah. Talk to me about Meg.
Meg, I didn't know this. Adam Pock told me the other day that we know Meg. Did you know we know Meg?
We know Meg?
Meg was at the entire taping of Reality Masters.
Hold on.
And you may have I didn't know this. And you may have, we both had talked to her allegedly. And also, She, what was I getting at? Sorry, the message is coming in. And she, I guess you saw Andrea Balky.
Yes, Andrea was
and
there.
And I guess that's why she was reality game master, because she's really good friends with Andrea in real life. And so that's how that all happened.
So what was she doing there at Reality Game Masters? Is she on screen?
Well, do you remember, like, there was that holding area and like the bar that people were just kind of meandering in?
Like making noise and stuff?
Yeah, and I believe she was in like that backstage area hanging out with, or in the bar area with you. And wow. I had spoken to her.
We'll have to get the scoop from Andrea. I did feel like...
Yeah, and one more thing about that, and the reason Adam knows all this is because I guess Meg is such a super fan, she attends his New York parties every year. You know those premiere parties?
Which is going on right now, right?
Yeah, so this is all maybe more exclusive. I thought you would have known all this. I thought it was news to me.
No, news to everybody tonight.
Yeah, so wow. We're all friends. We have a reason to root for her. She's our connection.
Yeah, I did find Meg to be a little annoying.
Yeah, more than a little. Well, she's bubbly, and I'm not like into the bubbly stuff. And she's very excited to be on Big Brother, big super fan. I get it, but yeah, you're right. It's also off putting.
Yeah, yeah. Like, I like my sass with a little sarcasm, right?
She's very
it's very, very sweet. The sass from Meg.
She tries to be, yeah, it doesn't fit her, you know, like she tries to be, I think, a little trampy, but she doesn't come off as trampy.
Well, you talked about this, that you said that she is boy crazy, and you feel like that is not a trait of somebody who's 25 would be. That's a 13-year-old trait.
She described herself as boy crazy, yes, and I agree. I said any 25-year-old who describes himself as boy crazy, that is something, it's not... You know, you should have evolved into a sluttier form of boy crazy where you wouldn't call yourself boy crazy anymore. You just sort of own up to being slutty. But I'm not saying she's slutty. I don't believe she is.
Yeah.
I believe that she still is like, you know, that bubbly boy crazy, which is a little weird.
Yeah. It seems like somebody who is not really super comfortable in their own skin of somebody who's like self-described as a 25-year-old boy crazy person.
That's a woman. That's a good way to put it.
Right. Like, boy crazy is almost the way that like a teenage girl would be carrying herself as opposed to a 25-year-old woman.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. She probably, yeah. She, HOHM's going to have like a One Direction poster.
Yeah. Yeah. And I thought it was an interesting sort of disconnect with her where I felt like we saw the other three women all working together and we saw the guys all sort of together. And we didn't see anybody really commenting on Meg except for James. And boy, this was a surprise to me that he said about her that
Taylor Swift.
Yes. He said about her, I should have known she was trouble when she walked in.
Did he really say that?
Yeah, he said that.
Oh, I didn't catch that throwaway line there.
And do you know this about James, that he is a Taylor Swift super fan?
No, I didn't know that. How did you know that?
It's in his bio. Oh, it's in his bio, yeah.
We'll get into that storyline week two or three, I think.
Right? Yeah. James definitely knew Meg was trouble when she walked in because she looks like Taylor Swift, so maybe...
Is it possible that he is really Taylor Swift's brother?
Well, that would be one hell of a twist if that was the case.
Poor Frankie gets just like thrown to the wayside there.
Yeah, boy.
Because Taylor Swift has a lot more celeb clout, I think, than that Grande chick.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Yeah, that should be what James is doing. James should just tell people he's Taylor Swift's brother this summer.
Like, that would be awesome.
But wait a second, hold on. All right. Matt, are you ready to take some questions?
Oh, gosh. Yeah, I feel like, let's see what's going on with these.
Let's take some questions. Okay, here we go.
I feel like they don't like that. Here's what I'm thinking about your audience. And I've kind of like superfluously very quickly been eyeballing the chat room occasionally. And every time it seems like people think I'm being mean. And so I feel like you have this new breed of audience who maybe doesn't get, I don't hate these people in like the way that your chat people are saying I hate them. I really don't. They're all, I'm sure, very nice people, most of them. You had some thin-skinned people in this chat.
No, it's too meta. Don't read the chat room during the show. It's all in real time,
right?
Yeah,
it's the equivalent of googling yourself. You never want to do that.
Yeah, They gotta, you know, turn down your radio when you're on the show. Yeah, it's you gotta let these things sink in. People shouldn't judge the show in the middle of it. They gotta.
You know, I have a, despite my villainous persona, I have a fragile ego, an emotional flower. You know,
all right, send Matt Hoffman some love in the chat room during the live show. All right, you're doing great. I haven't seen the audience numbers just drop off as we've been going on, so we're doing good. And before we jump into the questions, I want to take a moment and thank our friends at Mazda, who asked, does driving matter to you? There's over 4 million miles of road in the U.S. to find out. That's a lot of ground to cover, a lot of highways, freeways, wrong ways, and long ways. They're all there waiting to be driven on. So do you take that left turn at Albuquerque or just keep going? Do you wake up early on Sunday morning for a drive before the traffic does, or do you take the long winding road home for a change? If driving matters for you, let's just get out there and drive. Why? Because driving matters. Mazda. Let's go to Behava, who says, Rob, isn't the Battle of the Block going to make the season boring with the same bunch of floaters always get nominated, like Jocasta, Victoria, Brittany? Did the producers make the right decision, Matt?
That's actually a point that, see, I remember the Battle of the Block twist only in kind of a way that I remember not liking it. And, you know, I know the rules and how it works, but I don't remember all the implications of it. And I remember when the Battle of the Block twist was first announced, like, that's, everyone's like, okay, let's think about this scenario and this scenario. And I did that too. And I've just forgotten it all. And I don't want to do it again. So, like, stuff like this is good for people to tell me. And yeah, I remember that being a really shitty aspect of it. It will probably still be a shitty aspect of it.
Yeah, I have to say it was a bit of a blindside for all of us. We were not expecting the Battle of the Block to come back here. Friend, from what I recall from Big Brother 16, the people who were the worst challenge competitors would get nominated over and over and over again because they were the easy pawns, and you put them up. And then if you put up somebody who was a good competitor, then they would come off the block if they won the little game. And then they would say, Matt, you put me up, so you're going, your ass is on the block next week.
Yeah, I remember all that now. And that is probably the worst aspect of it. And why would you want to do that as production? I guess, like, I don't even know why that's a good thing to do.
The reason why they like it, I would say, for a couple of reasons. One, you need something for the final act of the Sunday night show, because I'm sorry, so you have the nominations and then you have a game also in that show, not the final act, but like the middle act, where in place of like a dumb food competition that nobody cares about, at least you have something with some stakes, and that is the Battle of the Block competition. Two, the big personalities that you would think that are working together, and seemingly you would think that Big Brother liked how they liked how Jocasta was always getting nominated and people like that. The people who were the floaters were kind of getting picked off early. You know, Victoria makes it far into the game, but the people who were sort of the people they wanted to keep around, and Frankie and Derek and stuff like that, they all managed to get far because of it. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes.
How long do you think they'll keep the BOB going for this year?
Until
it lasted a while, right?
It did. It went very far into the season last year. And I think it keeps going until Big Brother feels like, boy, this is going in a direction where it's going to take out the people that we want to be in the house right now.
That it's time for a BB takeover.
That it's time for something new. And nobody can say anything because they said up front it's going to be a BB takeover.
It's ridiculous, right?
Yeah. Okay. Next question. This is from Jericho, who says, twin twist. How did that work back in season 5? Pretty sure they were targeted once the house found out. Way to be original, BB. All right. Now, we probably have a lot of people who are watching the show who don't really remember Big Brother 5. That was 12 seasons of Big Brother ago, and I think probably 11 years ago. So, Matt, can you just tell us the folklore of Big Brother 5 and the twins? What were their names?
Natalie, right?
Was Natalie, and what was it? It started with an A, like Adria?
Nadia?
No, those are 20s.
Different reality shows.
Those are 20s. Yeah. I'm sure we could Google it real quick. BB5 twins. Yeah, Natalie and the sister was Adria. Yeah.
Adria. Yeah, I would have never remembered that for sure. Yeah.
And so basically, there was one of them. It was the same exact thing. They started in the house, but they were switching in and out, and they were just part of this alliance. Nobody really seemed to be that concerned with them too much. And then they were part of the plan to get out another Jace in the Big Brother house. And then,
oh, how funny, I didn't think of it.
Yeah, and then both of them got in the house, but then once they both got in the house, they got like very sort of preachy. Like they were very much into reading the Bible, right?
Yes, you remember. I remember it now that you're saying it.
Yeah, and then they got like really like very like high and mighty when once they both got into the house. They were very like indignant from what I remember.
Yeah, that's very true. You're totally right about that.
Yeah. That's what happened. It was Project DNA.
You think that'll happen now? I think so. With Liz?
I think Liz and her sister. Yeah, I think they're very religious. they actually met Portia on Noah's Ark. They're both very religious.
It was a Bible cruise.
Yeah, and that's why they were on Noah's Ark, because Noah said, "Well, I need two hostesses from Florida, so you two, okay, let me get you."
So this is a Florida takeover.
Florida takeover. Here we go, everybody. You ready? It's taking a long time for me to find the button here.
Get ready for a
Florida takeover. Whoa.
Oh. It's Andrew.
Oh my God. All right. So Project DNA, do you think that we'll see somebody who are two people are like long lost relatives, like in Project DNA, is a full fledged Project DNA reboot?
That would be great.
Yeah. Matt, do you think that somebody at CBS has looked at the success of Jurassic World and how it was a reboot of Jurassic Park? And that's ultimately what they're trying to do here. Of they're just going to reboot some of the twists they've done before in the past, because that's what America is into.
Hollywood loves the reboots. America loves the reboots. So that's a possibility. And again, I think that's okay, kind of, if they are redoing things they've already done, because to me that at least shows some sort of planning. You know, it's like, okay, we know maybe we weren't going to do the Saboteur twist this week, but we knew we were going to do it, you know? Whereas if it's just something weird, like a Pandora's box every week, it's just something stupid and new and crazy. That's where I'm going to call it major bullshit on all this stuff, I think.
Okay, let's go to another question here. This is from Braden Montag, who says, "Were you guys surprised Audrey revealed her secret so soon? Good move or bad?"
Good move, because then it's like not a big deal. You know, like we may not even have it addressed further in the season on the CBS episodes, potentially, because it's kind of like, who cares now? It's just a thing that happened.
Yeah, I mean, I think that the next time it comes up, I think it's going to be brought up by Audrey. I don't think it's going to be a thing that is really even mentioned by the house guests, other than asking her questions about it. Like, I think it's just kind of, it happened, it's out there, and so what now?
Well, I mean, just the way that the production works in general, there's a good week before the live feeds are on. So that night that she told them would have been the first night, probably. And then that conversation you saw that they aired briefly about it probably happened in that first 7 days. So point is, they probably talked about it a lot. And if all we saw on CBS was that little thing, they're probably done talking about it. CBS is probably done talking about it. It probably all happened before the live feeds or everything.
Yeah.
That's what I think.
The awkward thing is going to be that now the next house guests are going to move in and everybody is going to have to hear the announcement
again. Oh, see, I think it'll just spread itself virally.
Oh, I think Audrey's got to just get out in front of that. I don't think she wants to have that passed around to the other people in the house.
Really?
Huh. I think she's going to have to do an announcement part two.
Another one?
Yeah.
Takeover.
The takeover. announcement
is she,
takeover.
Is she 100%? That's it? She is, everything's chopped off?
I have no, I don't know. You're not supposed to ask about that, Matt.
Oh, you're, is that for
that's,
real?
Yeah, you're not, that's, you're not supposed to ask.
I didn't know that.
Oh, no.
This is all learning.
Takeover.
Look at me. Okay, I've grown so much over this podcast.
Yes. But I think that we will get a second announcement from Audrey in the Thursday night show.
About the genital state?
No. I think hey, everybody.
Just in general, yes. Another reboot of her announcement prior.
Yes. We'll have that happen again, I think, on the Thursday night show. By the way, Thursday night show, Matt, a lot of people don't know this, 8 p.m. Eastern. Usually Big Brother's on at 9 p.m. Eastern, 8 p.m. Eastern Thursday night.
Twist. twist after twist.
Twist is another twist. Time slot takeover.
TV is taking over the entire network's primetime programming.
Nathan says, do you think that they're going to add more people besides the Twins? Because there are 16 keyholes and the Twins could, in fact, get out before anybody else.
Oh, my God. Big Brother math.
Mm.
They probably will. Do you think no past contestant will come in to play, I presume?
I wouldn't think so. I wouldn't think that they're going to bring somebody in, and they because that person would be in sequester now, right?
You're right. Forget it. No, we're done. We're going to see everyone we've seen, right?
What did you make of the rumors that people were saying that there were going to be a pair of people from The Amazing Race that were added to this cast? Did you see any of that?
I did. I mean, that would be the weirdest thing to do. I mean, if you were going to like promote it that way, because I don't watch Amazing Race enough to know these people. You can't assume that like these Big Brother people are going to be excited to see these. It's just weird. I think it's weird.
Yeah. And they weren't really like breakout characters from The Amazing Race that are being talked about in Jeff and Jacqueline.
Amazing Race is kind of a dog shit show too. And like, I think if you're going to,
how dare people, you, Matt?
I apologize to all the Amazing Race fans, but it's watered down family fluff. You know, you're taking a show, a cutthroat show like Big Brother, cutthroat strategy, and you're pulling someone from like Amazing Race, pull a survivor, if anything, but really don't pull anybody. But you know, it's just, it's a weird mix.
Yeah. Okay. Let's go to Jer Martin, who says, how long will it take Shelly and Clay to get really close? Now, did you know this, that Shelly thought she was a cougar, but then after a certain age, you're not a cougar, you're a puma?
No, it's
what's again, the cutoff there?
I have no idea.
What was the math on that?
She's 33, right?
I heard, from what I understand, like I heard from my sources, that I don't even think you can be a cougar until you're 35.
35 seems young. Is that a cougar age? I feel old then.
I think if from what I understand, and maybe people like help me out with this cougar math. I think if the woman is over 35 and the man is younger than 25, that is officially a cougar. And I don't know where you get into puma. I don't know where that comes in. How old do you have to be a puma? How young does the guy have to be a puma?
See, I would say cougar is 40 and puma 35. Maybe.
Is puma better or worse than cougar? Is puma, if you're younger than 35, you're puma?
Puma is way worse because it's shows a horrible seething desperation because you have that biological clock factor, and that's probably psychologically why you're doing it. Whereas a cougar is probably past that prime. She knows that she's just horny and wants some young meat, you know?
I don't know. But Clay seemed up for it.
Yeah, a cougar is respectable. I think a puma is just sad. You know?
I don't know. But she is thirsty. So yeah. Reality Snuff says puma is younger than a cougar. So is puma like a junior cougar?
Right. Yeah, puma's cougar? Younger than a cougar. Exactly.
Okay. We have to figure out this puma math.
The puma's probably in your decades, like somewhere in the 30s. Because I think 40 is cougar. But then you get high 40s. I think that's even older than cougar.
Okay. All right. Number one contender for the hashtag tonight is pumath. Number one contender. All right. Amazing Race, know it all. Don't look now, Matt. Looking ahead, will Shelly stay loyal with the girls or move over to Clay as she can't stop talking and looking at him?
I think she might get roped into Clay, but the problem will be it might be like a reverse Caleb Amber situation. Clay might just not be into her, and she might be get all stuckers. I say it might be in that, not that I think it'll happen, that I hope it will happen, but I probably don't.
Yeah. Is the first person who's going to be evicted in the house right now from the TV perspective?
Okay, maybe, because my first two picks to be first booed are, one is there and then one is not. I would pick Meg or Liz.
Meg or Liz. Yeah. I see it pretty good. I'm worried about Dr. John also.
See, he fits the profile of first booed, and I would have, when I first, the cast was released and I just watched the video and I said, this guy's a first boot, but there's been like a lot of fan support for this guy.
Yeah, I know. Well, he's going to be good TV.
We hope that
he's going to be good TV. This is another question. Let's take this from Johnny Hortzman. And Johnny says, I'm impressed with the house guests so far, especially Devon and Audrey. Is it just me, or is this season shaping up to be much more strategic than Big Brother 16? I think.
I mean,
the bar isn't high.
Yeah, the bar is not
outside
high,
of Derek.
It always kind of comes out the gate in the late recent seasons where people are just like, alliance, strategy, bam, bam. And then you slowly start to taper off and see, you know, where you separate the dummies from the people who might know what they're doing. So everyone seems strategic at first. We'll see what happens.
Okay, we'll see what happens. Let's go to Jimmy Whitcomb, who says, do you think that Austin's size and appearance will affect his game socially?
I mean, if anything, in a positive way. I feel he has, I think, a presence like that you almost want to be around in a way. I think it's a good thing.
You're drawn in by his gravity.
I feel like that. Do you disagree? I mean,
I think he's going to be a big target just because he's such a big guy. But I've never been in the Big Brother house. I mean, can you forget a guy that's that big in the Big Brother house?
I wouldn't say you forget it, but I wouldn't say you harp on it either. You know, I mean, I guess kind of like I said, these competitions, you think that because you're big and muscular that you have an advantage. You don't at all. It's very much coordination. You can be the strongest, biggest guy in the world and not be able to balance something or, you know, whatever, catch something. It's totally, that muscle thing is just, it's all intimidation. It's psychological.
Okay. This is from Film TV Nerd. Does anyone else think that Audrey will be like Joey, playing too hard, too fast, and the guys will catch up like last time? Did that worry you about Audrey?
No, I think Audrey's safe, and I hate to say this because it's shiesty, but I mean, even just from a production standpoint, they're not letting go of Audrey. Before jury, probably, I don't think.
Yeah, I think she's going to be safe. And I also think that people aren't going to want to have it look like, oh boy, I targeted the person who was different. And I think that nobody wants
that's huge. Like in the early days of reality TV, there would never be a black person voted off first on any reality show. Do you remember that? And it took like a decade of reality TV before you could get a black person to be voted out first week. And because people never wanted to, and I'm not saying that people are so sensitive. They probably, does this sound racist? I don't think feel I'm being racist.
I'm just trying to do the math in my head. I'm trying to figure, I'm going through all the first booths.
TV, I'm not saying I agree with any, whatever. The facts of reality TV are in the old age, you would always, if there was an African-American on, you'd be like, for sure, they're at least second round. And that was always the case. And not so much anymore in recent days.
Yeah. All right. Well, they did it. They did it. Okay. Let's go to Johnny Hortzman also, who says, I don't think anyone is going to see Devon as a threat. After all, they think he's the second grade teacher and that's pretty small in stature. Okay. Matt, you said that second grade teacher is the go-to fake job.
Teacher in general. I mean, it's, and it makes sense because it's like, it's the only career really, the easiest one to think of that shows that you are educated and also shows that you can take 3 months of the summer off with no ramifications on your educated career. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. There's not really a lot of jobs that you can play off that instill that. So teachers are an easy go-to. You go, yeah, my summer's off because I'm a teacher.
Okay. Let's do two more questions here with Matt. Keith Dixon said, why did they need one of them to sit out the HOH competition?
Yeah.
Just to make drama, right?
That's again why. Okay, so you had the even number of people, which is, you know, I don't know. It is weird to have one person sit out, and because of that the number of people in the house, I feel there's going to be some advantage to her doing that. And it's weird that she would have made it seem like, oh, I'm helping you guys by doing it.
I don't know. I think they just wanted something to have them talk about. Like, I did feel like it was overall for a night where it was a lot of twists. I felt like it was a slow first hour of Big Brother.
See, this is it always is. Like, even when I signed over this, I was very excited to jump in on the premiere. BB17 Rob has a podcast, mostly just to hang out and bullshit. But you got to know ahead of time the content of these initial episodes is horrible.
I feel like B-roll. In the past, it didn't used to be that way. I feel like when everybody moved in on the first night, I feel like that there's good stuff there.
Really? It's been a while, I feel. I mean, maybe a while ago, but not in recent
seasons. BB14, what about when Jody got kicked out in the first night?
It's action-packed.
Action-packed, right? So, there was a lot going on there.
Does Jody ever come on your podcast?
Who?
Jody?
I've never had her on the podcast, no.
Never? You didn't even post a Vic interview her?
I'm trying to think if she, like, I don't know if they put them in sequester or what, but no, I didn't, they didn't do exit press with Jody.
You should do like a retrospective on her gameplay with her when guest.
She'd be a good guest. She'd be a good guest.
Long retrospective.
We voted her back into second chances. Yeah. Okay. All right. This is from Tyree, who says, with a different twist every week, how little strategy will actually happen this season. Matt, are you one of the people that buys into the more twists there are, more likely it is that the better players will get targeted?
I don't know that I would say that they were more likely to get targeted as much as I'd say that they're more likely to have an otherwise cool game to watch be fucked up and screws it up for them and for the viewers. Because if you're a good strategic player, that's enough to entertain America. I assure you, when you look at strategic players, those are good games to watch. And these twists just like fuck up the people's games and then fuck up like what could be a good character. So I don't like them.
Okay. One last question with Matt from Lisa Ram, who says, Clay saying 30 seconds, I could have lasted longer than that. That will haunt him for the rest of his life through. Well, it's not going to be that bad.
30 seconds? I could have lasted longer than that.
Yeah.
If you Google Clay preseason, I think he's got some other things probably he'll be worrying about when he's out of the house beyond this soundbite here.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. All right. So, Matt, great job here tonight talking about the premiere of Big Brother 17.
Thank you. It's really fun to be back. I enjoy this opportunity.
Fun to be back. Fun to talk to you anytime.
And the Rob has a podcast community.
How much are you going to be following BB 17?
Not much.
Oh, Rob. No.
I, as you, have a 20-ish month old child who prevents any live television viewing. So I'll usually be delayed. I'll be kind of up on it. I definitely am not going to piss away my life with live feeds. But I will be doing live feed chats for CBS.com. Every other Friday. Exclusive. This is actually the first time I've spoken of this, but it's not special, mind you. I think there's like a ton of shitty house guests doing them as well. So mine are like every other Friday.
Are there any other semi legends doing it?
I don't know. It's very So they met my appearance fee. I agreed.
Oh, that's good.
Yes. And so chat with me every other Friday on CBS.
Good for you.
Live feed nerds.
Yes. Now, what is mostly on the TV at your house with a young 20-month-old Hannah?
It's rough, man. It's like nightmarish, just loops of shitty kids' educational shit.
Yeah. Like on YouTube where you have like DVDs?
We haven't put YouTube up on the TV screen.
Oh, yeah. We got YouTube.
Baby Einstein.
Oh, yeah. We got that going. Which one do you like?
Got the whole collection on our server.
What's your favorite?
I like the numbers.
Numbers.
It's a little easy. I don't like the ones about the composers.
Baby Neptune is a big hit over here.
Water. Kid likes water. Yeah.
Like fish.
All right. These numbers dropping.
All right. Matt, the hashtag for tonight's episode, we'll go with Poo Math, right?
Is that P-O-O or P-U? No,
P-U-M-A-T-H. Poo Math. Tomorrow night, we will be live after the Thursday night show and see the second part of the HOH and more on the twin twist and everything like that. And I will be live with Jordan Parhar from the Big Brother Canada 3, who is also hosting his own Big Brother podcast on our reality TV wrap ups. And his weekly live show is going to be on Friday. So more on that to come tomorrow with Jordan Parhar.
Ah, that sounds like quite a get.
Yeah. Well, look, we know people. All right, Matt, the live feeds kick off tomorrow after the episode. If you want to get in on the live feeds, go to robswebsite.com/live feeds or go to robswebsite.com/bingo to get your Big Brother live feed bingo card. And is there anything else?
Follow me on Twitter. I'm funny sometimes.
And follow Matt on Twitter. He's at head of Hoffhold.
Yeah, if you can even figure out how to find me there.
They already follow you.
I'm waiting for you.
They already follow you. What did you tweet about today?
I don't know. Usually I'm very topical.
Very topical.
Sure it's something.
Okay. There you go. Well, you tweeted that you were coming on here. That was good. Yeah. So you're talking about all sorts of topical things on Matt Hoffman's
Twitter. What a great self in my feed.
All right. Matt, thank you so much. Everybody, we'll be back tomorrow night with more Big Brother on Thursday. Have a great day, and we'll talk to you soon. Bye.
Thanks, guys.